Thanks so much for tuning in to the Moonee Ponds Baptist Church podcast. Here we upload our weekly teachings that happen every Sunday at our 10 a.m. service. If we can help you in any way, feel free to reach out to us and check out our website at mpbc.org.au.
Today we have two readings. So the first one is from Isaiah 9:6-7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And the second reading is from Luke 2:8-15. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. This is the word of the Lord."
It's great. We're richly blessed at Moonee Ponds with a great team of musicians and worship leaders. And it's always good that we've just got such a rich talent we can draw on. So I'm really thankful for that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that we've heard this morning, of the promises that were spoken hundreds of years, thousands of years ago now, and yet that have been fulfilled and are being fulfilled even in this day. But we thank you that you have a plan, a great peace plan for us to be at peace with you and for us to be at peace in the world in which we live. We pray, Lord, we say, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus. We pray that you would do a great work through your Spirit in us, through your church here, as we seek to be your hands and your feet and your voice in this community and your peacemakers. Come, Lord Jesus, we invite you to speak to us today by your Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, one of the telltale signs that Christmas is upon us is that we start to hear and see familiar messages about what it means and what people hope for at Christmas and what they hope it'll bring. And so, one of the constant messages that I hear year in, year out is a desire for peace on earth. A hope for peace on earth. So lots of Christmas cards are given out that express that desire to see peace on earth. You might have even received one of those Christmas cards this past week or given one out yourself. I've given a few out myself over the years that have that sentiment on them. Now, on those cards, there's not usually a lot of explanation about how that peace is going to come about or how it's going to be achieved, but the sentiment is quite strong and it's widely felt. In fact, I saw this Christmas card recently the other day. It made me laugh. It was a sort of different sort of peace that people were seeking on Christmas Day, I thought. A desire that this family had was a bit more modest. than achieving global peace, but they were actually looking for a more for a local peace solution in their family. There are also lots of songs at Christmas time sung and around New Year that express our desire and our hope for peace. Some of you might know John Lennon's song, Happy Christmas, or The War Is Over, is one that is played almost continuously at this time. In fact, it's been become a bit of an anthem, I think, for Christmas for many people, as it really expresses their heart's desire to see peace on earth. And I'm sure that you've all heard that song many times, but let me refresh you with some of the lyrics. So this is Christmas. I'm not going to sing them, don't worry. So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, a new one just begun. And so this is Christmas. I hope you have fun. The near and the dear one, the old and the young. A very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Let's hope it's a good one without any fear. Lennon's sentiments for peace are good, and I think they tap into a universal desire for peace on earth, even for people who don't follow Christ and in countries where Christmas is perhaps not celebrated as they are in many of other countries around the world. But it's not just an end to armed conflict that people want, is it? People want to experience peace actually in the places where they live. They want to experience peace in the relationships that they have, in the workplaces and situations, in their marriages. And people most especially want to experience peace within themselves. Each year, we hope for peace. We yearn for it, in fact. But unfortunately, there's not a lot of peace on earth, is there? Even today, armies are camped along borders of other countries. The 20-year war in Afghanistan has officially ended, not because peace was achieved, but because people got tired of fighting an endless war to bring about peace. It's kind of ironic, isn't it? And today, wars continue in Yemen, in Syria, in Ethiopia, and armed conflicts are happening in other places around the world that we know of, some we don't. And even though many families spent Christmas Day together yesterday, some are glad that there's actually another 364 days before they have to see some of their family members again. What this tells us is that actually peace is our great hope and our ideal at Christmas time. But it is something that we actually never truly are able to achieve on a global scale or even on a family level or even individually. It's really difficult to achieve those things. And I think this can be most troubling, especially for Christians, since we come into this season and we come seeing that peace is actually a major theme of Jesus' birth and a major theme of Christmas, and we want it to bring peace and we wonder where it is. I'm sure many of you are asking yourself, well, where is that peace that was promised and how do we really experience it? In Luke chapter 2, verse 14, the angels appeared in the sky above some shepherds and they announced God's peace plan. They announced that it was being rolled out. It must have been a spectacular sight, much more spectacular than the fireworks that happen over Sydney Harbour Bridge each year. We're a little jealous of Sydney. They've got that bridge that they can do fireworks over. But can you imagine being in the field that night? Hard to imagine, isn't it? But the angels were actually so full of excitement, so full of joy, that they began to sing. This army, this massive number of angels began to sing in unison, "Glory to God in the heavenly heights, peace to all men and women on earth who please Him." Declaring Jesus' birth as the event that ushers in peace on earth is a big call, isn't it? It's a big call. Not many parents would dare to make such bold predictions about their kids or their kids' success in life, or what they would achieve in life, especially before they'd seen their temperament and before they knew their intelligence. Oh yeah, he's going to be president. Yep. Oh, he'll be prime minister for sure. He'll bat for Australia. So were the angels just getting a bit carried away in the moment? A bit of irrational exuberance? I don't believe they were. You see, they knew something that we actually find really hard to grasp. You see, in all of our Christmas cards and in all of our peace songs, we talk about the need for peace. But we think that that peace, we think that our actual issue in actually preventing us getting peace is actually just the horizontal issues that we have between people. That it's actually that we just need to work on those a bit more. But actually, the Bible doesn't actually place the burden of the problem there. The Bible makes it very clear that our relational issues on earth, they actually stem ultimately from our broken relationship with God. We think it's a horizontal issue where God tells us in His Word that it actually begins with a vertical issue between people and God. The hostilities that we experience with each other, whether they are a breakdown in family relationships, conflict at work, conflicts within ourselves, right up to the hostilities that nations experience with each other, actually all stem from a broken relationship with God because of our sin. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, He declared that as a result, people would no longer experience shalom. That's a Hebrew word. It means peace, but it means more than what we mean in English as peace. They would no longer experience harmony with the creation and with other people. They would no longer get all their provisions that they had experienced in the Garden of Eden. They would no longer feel completely whole, and they would no longer have this uninterrupted relationship with God. Instead, they would be in this state of conflict with all of those things. And we know this to be true since we experience that in our own lives ourselves, don't we? What this means is that to experience true peace, it is our relationship with God that needs to be repaired first. Try to patch up the other relationships with people whom you're in conflict with is a good thing. We should always be seeking to be at peace with our neighbours and within our community and with family members and other people. But actually doing that without addressing the source of all the conflicts in your life is like trying to put out spot fires around a giant bushfire without doing anything about the main fire that's actually sending all those sparks and embers up into the air all the time. You'd be running around all the time trying to put them out and never actually achieve that. We know that because we're Aussies. We know what bushfires do and how they work. But do we know how sin works in our own lives and what it does? The good news that the angel announced to the shepherds is that God Himself has actually done something about that main fire. He's actually done something to address that broken relationship that people have with God. And what is extraordinary about God's peace plan is that actually God takes the steps to solve the problem Himself. Even though He didn't cause the problem, we actually caused the problem. God is the one who goes out of His way to make peace with us. That's good news. That is the good news. This is why the angels are so happy. This is why they were singing. You see, they'd been waiting, they'd been longing for this day because they knew it was coming. Is it today? I can imagine them there in heaven. Is it today we get to announce this? Come on! Finally, they get to announce God's peace plan was being implemented. And that's why they were singing. Are you singing today because of that peace plan? I hope so. It's a great peace plan. God's peace plan was not an afterthought. It was something that He'd planned since our relationship with Him first broke down. He'd announced what he was going to do actually 700 years before it took place, before Jesus came. And so through the prophet Isaiah, God announced that what he was going to do. He says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And later in his prophecy, in his prophecies, Isaiah says that this same child, the same one who's called the Prince of Peace, will bring us peace by taking the punishment on himself for our sins that we deserve. Often when we read the story of Jesus' birth, we actually skip over the song that the angels sing, don't we? We think, that's just a bit of razzmatazz, it's a bit of joyful exuberance. What's in there? I can't quite understand it. Why are they singing so much? They were exuberant for sure, but it wasn't just exuberance without substance. The angels were actually announcing that what God had promised was being fulfilled. They were announcing that finally God was doing what he promised, and he was entering into the world as a baby, as a son, to reconcile people to himself. What stands out, though, from Isaiah's prophecies is that God's peace plan is not a set of guidelines. It's not a rule book to make people live in peace. God's peace plan is a person. It is God himself who comes to take the punishment that we deserve so that we can once again be at peace with God. The reason God takes such drastic action is because God needs to actually deal with the brokenness at its source. And we know this in our hearts, but we avoid it. We want to keep trying our own peace initiatives all the time, don't we? But the only way to deal with your lack of peace in a lasting way is to deal with it at the root cause, which is the brokenness within each one of us. Recently, some people in our street had found some termites in their house. Kids were playing one day. One of them leant on the wall. His whole arm went through it. When they looked inside, they found there were termites in there. Everything, the whole wall had been eaten out by termites. And so they called in the pest control company who came out, and they didn't just start spraying around chemicals. Oh, yeah, we got it. Yeah, spray it around. Or they didn't, because that would just scatter the termites to other places around the house, and the whole place would be eaten out. You see, the only way to kill termites, the only way to destroy them is to actually deal with them at their source, which is at their nest. And so what the pest control company did is that they put poison in a trap in a wall, and then the termites around the trap came and ate it. And then they took that poison back to the nest, and it destroyed the nest at the very source from where it started. And so likewise, we need the brokenness and conflict in our lives dealt with at the source if we actually want to experience true peace. To experience true peace in your marriage, in your family, in relationships with other people, even if you want to experience true peace in yourself, then you need to first address the broken relationship that you have in your life with God. We all need to do that. If you haven't done that this morning, I want to encourage you to do that, because that's the starting place of peace. You do this by actually putting your faith in Jesus and putting your faith in what God has done through Jesus to reconcile us back to him. That's how it works. And so actually, if you listen closely to the song that the angels were singing, you will notice that that's actually what they were singing about. You see, we often jump over the angel's words because we think, oh, well, you know, Jesus' birth, it automatically brings peace on earth to everyone. But the angels don't say that. They don't say that peace will come on the whole earth just because Jesus was born. They actually declare peace to all men and women on earth who please him. Who then will experience peace? Those who please God. And how do you please God? By placing your faith in Jesus and what he has done to heal our broken relationship with God. And Paul says the same thing in his letter to the Romans when he says, since we've been made right with God through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so what he means here is that peace with God is actually always linked to faith in Christ. Can you see then now how you can experience true peace? And can you see now how actually true peace comes to the whole earth and to people on our earth? It comes by looking to Jesus and by trusting in what he's done. It comes by putting your faith in Jesus, because only Jesus can deal with the brokenness and its sin at its source. And he's also the only one who can enable us to be his representatives of peace to other people who also need to hear how they can be at peace with God. You might think, well, hey, I'm not too bad, am I? Or you might think, well, actually, I'm too damaged. I'm too broken for God to heal. Others of you may think, well, you don't know my state of mental health. You don't know how bad my family is and how hard it is to find peace at home. It's true. I don't know the depth of those issues. But I do know that God does. And he wants to bring you peace. And he wants to bring you healing this morning. That is why Jesus came. That's why we call him. That's why he's called the Prince of Peace. Once Jesus went to eat a meal with a religious leader named Simon. And during that meal, a woman came in to the house who was a prostitute. And she knelt down behind Jesus and she began to cry because of the great shame she felt about her life. And as she cried, tears dropped down onto Jesus' feet and they wet his feet. And so she bent down. With her hair, she began to wipe Jesus' feet. Can you imagine that? Simon, the religious guy, he was really disturbed by that. Not by her brokenness or her humility, but that Jesus would allow a woman like that to do that. But Jesus was more disturbed by Simon's hardness of heart and his pride, which prevented him from seeing his own sin and his own need to be reconciled with God. And seeing this, Jesus told Simon a story about two men who owed money to a moneylender. One owed a huge amount of money, the other a smaller sum. But essentially, neither of them could repay the money lender, the money that they owed him. And so the lender, in his graciousness, he forgave them the debts. And so Jesus asked Simon, which of these two debtors loved the money lender more? Simon got it. He said, the one who owed the most money. Simon answered, to which Jesus responded, saying that he'd answered correctly. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. That night, the woman who was a prostitute left that house in peace with God and with herself. Her sins, which were many, were forgiven, and she experienced this peace by putting her faith in Jesus and by receiving the forgiveness that he offered her But Simon, the religious guy, he remained aloof from Jesus. He remained hostile and closed and suspicious. And because of that, he didn't experience forgiveness or peace with God. What sort of peace did the woman experience from Jesus that night? Well, he didn't remove her from that situation. She might have left, for sure, she might have left prostitution that night. But her life from that point on was not suddenly marvelous. She wasn't suddenly, you know, jetted off to some other parallel universe. But Jesus enabled her to experience forgiveness and grace in her situation and helped her to know that actually she was deeply loved by God. And in time, he would also give her his Spirit, who would empower her to be able to forgive people, the people who had harmed her and wronged her. And because of this, she experienced great peace. This encounter in Simon, the religious leader's house, gives us a clue today about how men and women on earth, how we can experience true peace today with God, and how others can as well. It's not ultimately through peacekeepers or political solutions or economic uplift or increased education or technology. Peace ultimately comes to us in a person, in Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace, and we experience peace with God through him. And others can also experience peace with God through him as they place their faith in him. This, friends, is the hope and promise of Christmas. Peace is not just a sentiment written on a card or something sung about in a song. It's actually a person, and it's a fulfilled promise to us. It's real, and it can be experienced today in your life. Friends, the starting place of all peace is experiencing peace with God yourself first. No matter if you're a straight-living person, a religious leader, a prostitute, the Bible says that every one of us actually has a debt with God that we can't repay and that we need paid so that we can be reconciled with God and then be at peace with him. Christmas then is a great time to take up God's offer to wipe out the debt that you can't pay and be at peace with him. It's a generous offer. This is why Jesus has come into the world. I invite you to come to Jesus today with an open heart and receive him, because only he can forgive your sins and give you his Spirit and transform you into a peacemaker. But it's not just you and I that need peace, is it? We live in a world that peace is quite absent from. The rest of the world needs to experience peace as well. The world cries out for it. This is why actually Jesus has given us, the community of faith, a key role to play in his peace plan. And so my encouragement to you today is to hear that call and that necessity from Jesus, that call to us to be a participant in that plan. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 that we are God's ambassadors, and we are to tell and show other people how they can be reconciled to God themselves and how they can know true peace. One day Jesus will return, and when he does, he will usher in a full and uninterrupted peace. John in the book of Revelation says that full peace will come when God finally takes up residence on earth with us in the new earth, the new heaven. But in the meantime, we're not just meant to send out Christmas cards that express our desire for peace. That's not enough. As a community, we really need to grasp afresh how people experience true peace. And we need to express that to others and take up our responsibility as Jesus' ambassadors of peace by telling and showing other people how they can know peace with God themselves. And so that's the challenge that I'm leaving with you this morning. Now, many of you know this peace already in your hearts. You do. But the responsibility and the call on us is to help others know that peace as well. The peace in our neighbourhoods, in our suburbs, in our city, in our state, across the nation, that comes from us sharing and showing other people how they can be reconciled to God as well. And you can play a part in that. That's what God is calling us to do as a church, together and individually. And I encourage you to ask God to show you how you can do that in the coming days ahead. Let me pray for you. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. The peace is a person, and that you have a plan for peace on earth, and that starts with us being reconciled to you. Help us to know that we are reconciled with you. If we're not, I pray for the people here today who are not, who might know that, and that today they might do something about that. For the rest of us who do know peace with you, I pray that you would encourage us to share that, what we know about how peace comes to others, so that they can know your peace as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, Ben.